This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Whammy, Whammy, Whammy on Twitter just hit me with a brilliant one. The San Diego could raise. It's fantastic. That's them in a nutshell. They could. They could. Like, you look at the White Sox and you go, yeah, they're probably not going to roll 15-7. Hell, they might. Actually, the Mite Sox. How about that? But the San Diego, yeah, the Mite Sox. They could go. Why do I feel more comfortable in the White Sox going 15-7 than I do the San Diego Padres going 15-7? It's because of what the last 2.5 years have shown me.
Ben told us during the break there's 24 games between now and the All Star game.
Yeah, All Star break. Yep.
So.
Paulie and I immediately...
Anything other than 12-12 is the wrong answer.
Paulie and I literally at the same time go, 12-12, just like that. 24 games till the break. Yeah, 12-12. 100%. Slight deviation, maybe. 11-13, 13-11. But it's going to be somewhere in that. Yep. It's going to be double digit. It's going to be...
I promise, they won't be two games one way or the other.
No, it's going to be a right around 11.
It is so much easier to believe that because they got swept by the Mets and now they're facing tougher teams that a 1-23 run is about to start.
100%.
But when positive things happen, we're always waiting for the shoe to drop. Oh, it's about to fall apart. But when negative things happen, it reinforces our belief that everything is bad is just waiting around the corner.
Yeah.
That's the cynicism that I was kind of telling Sammy to try to avoid that. I don't think he falls into that trap.
No, he doesn't.
Every negative thing is not necessarily a sign of impending doom, just like every positive thing is not a sign that the season is safe and about to be turned around.
Mike, longtime Padres fan, says, yes, everyone's right. I'd still rather watch this team than the Chase Headley Padres. I agree with you 100%. When I moved here in 2010, I still watched every single game. And I was like, this is excruciating. I mean, this is really, really excruciating. Yes, they're a more entertaining team with a lot more talent, which also makes it excruciating in its own right that, you know, the talent that you have and probably overpaid for in a lot of cases is not living up to what they're supposed to.
We've got Matty Strom coming up soon, so let's get to the headlines today in our Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our... today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest...
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
You know, the Italian Paul Report and the Bald Rindle Report don't pack the same amount of punch. I love both of those guys, and thanks for filling in.
Yes, thank you both.
I missed the Rindle Report.
Yeah, good to be back. Voice still not there, but
it's all right.
We're
sound
get
fine.
Through it.
You sound as good, if not better, than Adam. So you're good.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, let's start in the NBA, but NBA media news. We don't really need to. We kind of mentioned where the NBA finals are at. I think Game 5 is tonight, I believe.
Yes,
and,
tonight.
Dallas absolutely wiped the floor with Boston.
That's the easy one.
When you're coming back
from 3-0,
yeah,
that one's the easy one at
home.
It's
hard to beat any team four times in a row. I would bet everything you have on Boston.
Once that one just got a little bit out of hand, the Celtics said, towel. Yep. Let's just go home and win it in Game 5.
100%.
We'll see if the Mavericks can make this one interesting. Obviously, keep it close. If they win it, they get it back to home for Game 6, and then all of a sudden you may be staring at a Game 7. So today is the telling one. I would expect Boston to win fairly handily, but You never know. That's why they play the game.
Spread is 6.5.
Yeah, I would take Boston.
Wow, Boston.
Yeah. But we did have some news in basketball media. There's been so much consternation on the upcoming NBA deal with their television rights. What's going to happen to Inside the NBA, everyone's favorite pre and post and halftime studio show, and Kenny and Chuck and Shaq and Ernie. And I remember Shaq went on a podcast, or he was on with Dan Patrick, I think, recently. He said, look, I've got a production company. I've thought about maybe hiring all the guys, keep everybody together. But he had he's kind of changed his tune a little bit. He announced this over the weekend.
I want to say this because you guys are my family. I really love TNT, all the people who work here, NBA television. You guys have been great to me for 24 years. And I just want to say thank you to my entire NBA family. I love you guys. You know, there's been a lot of noise around our network the last few months. And I just want to say, I've talked to all the other networks, but I ain't going nowhere other than TNT. But I have made the decision myself, no matter what happens, next year is going to be my last year on television.
Damn.
And I just want to say thank you to my NBA family. You guys have been great to me. My heart is full with joy and gratitude. But I'm going to pass the baton at the end of next year. I hope the NBA stays with TNT. But for me personally, I wanted you guys to hear from me, because I'm not doing any more interviews. Don't y'all be calling me. Nobody calling me. I'm not talking about this again, but I wanted to tell my NBA and NBA TV and TNT family that I'm not going to another network. But I'm going to pass the baton to either Jamal Crawford or Vince Carter or you, Steve. But next year,
I'll accept.
I'm going to just retire after 25 years, and I just want to say thank you, and I wanted y'all to hear from me first.
Thank you, man.
I think he meant Benjamin Stephen Higgins.
No, he meant Stephen R. Woods.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I've been sitting on this for a while.
Here's my
guys,
prediction.
And I'm very excited.
He said he's done with television. There will still be plenty of Charles Barkley content in his future.
Podcast, perhaps.
Well, all he has to do, I mean, Charles just
pops in.
He just pops in and says things.
He's like Bill Walton.
He popped into the NHL Finals broadcast last week. There will be plenty of Charles around, retirement or no retirement. Maybe he won't be doing the nightly thing on television anymore, but you'll find. What, is Charles just going to stop talking for the last 35 years of his life?
Jay in the chat says he's actually passing the baton to Dan Stevens, which was your which was your fake radio name.
Thank you, Charles.
I will never, never love a story more than I love Ben having a fake name of Dan Stevens. You absolute porno star.
God.
Dan Charles, Stevens.
Sir Charles is not just going away. He's not. There's no way that guy just disappears for the next 30 years in retirement.
Do you know how much I'm looking forward to that exact speech with you two boneheads in here one day? Do you have any
I'm not doing any more
idea? Don't call me.
This is
Don't
it.
Don't ask me. We want to play golf? We'll play golf. This is it.
You're done.
I'm done.
So I got a great third story. We don't have enough time.
Save it
I'm
for later.
I'm going to save it for tomorrow. But we do have one more clip of audio here. Nobody asked for Snoop Dogg calling a Major League Baseball game. But my God, I need more of it now.
He was great.
So he was this was in Milwaukee, and I don't know why he was there exactly, but he was there throughout the first pitch, and he jumped into the booth. Now, he was here like 7 or 8 years ago. I remember he threw out the first pitch. I think he did a post-game concert out at Gallagher Square, or Park at the Park at the time. They didn't put him in the booth, though, with Don and Mudd. And that was a big mistake,
huge
I think.
Huge mistake.
Because here's a couple of highlights of Snoop Dogg calling Major League Baseball.
This douche revolver was my problem solver. Let's go. 22. Watch. You see me when you was a youngster, man. Show out now. You're an adult now. How often do people slide down that slide over there? Right? He can't get there. He better not outrun you. He better not outrun you. He better not. You better not let the pitcher outrun you, dog. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about.
Two for two.
Thank you. Anybody but the pitcher. You can't outrun me, dog.
Not you. Make it tough, love, right?
Yeah, I know. Oh, he gone. He took that. Get up in there. He took that. Give him that. Give him that. Where'd it go? Eat. Go eat. 22 eating right now. I came in where the players come in at. Because I'm a player.
This is the one that was going around the most. It's a ground ball to Ellie De La Cruz. Reds phenom shortstop who Snoop Dogg had no idea existed.
Correct.
Before this play.
I came in with a player's coming in there. Because I'm a player. Get up in there. Oh, he's safe. He can't throw that. He ain't got no arm like that. No, he don't.
No, he does, though.
No, he don't.
Oh, he does.
Who is that with that rocket?
Ellie De La Cruz.
Oh, Lord.
With a howitzer.
He got a rocket in his pocket. Oh, he made that.
Are you...
Amazing.
Was it the last Olympics when they had Snoop calling the random sports? I hope they do that again this summer. That was
equestrian
great.
Equestrian,
and yeah. I hope NBC has him over in Paris later this again, because that was genius content.
Yeah, he's great.
Genius content.
Good. Thank you, Bolly.
You're welcome.
Let's save that Angel Reese story for another time. We have to talk about that at some point. This is getting insane.
We have another segment after Matt Strom.
All right, we'll do it. Yeah, we watched some of the highlights. I thought it was nuts.
But Matt Strom, he's going to join us. So let's take an early timeout here. We'll come back with the former Padre, now Phillies, outstanding relief pitcher this season. Matt Strom joining us after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Long before we signed the lifetime friendship contract with Manny Machado, there was Matt Strom.
Yes.
And there was days on the golf course. You guys, when we went out to fantasy camp.
Old school, man.
We have kept tabs on Matty ever since he left the San Diego Padres. He's been rooting for some success. And, boy, is he having some this year. And it is our pleasure to welcome back to Ben and Woods, relief pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, Matt Strom, back on in San Diego here on 97.3 The Fan. Matty, it's always great to catch up with you. How you been?
Good. Appreciate you guys having me.
Our pleasure. Happy Father's Day from yesterday. What did what kind of loot did you get?
Same deal.
Thank you.
I got some new Fiori clothes and a watch that says "I love you, Daddy" from Ren on it.
It kills me every time. My son wrote me a card, Maddie, that said, "I'm sorry, I'm so hard to deal with." He's 6 years old, which is incredible. Well, I think what everybody wants to know, Maddie, is what kind of Wheaties are you eating? What a fantastic season you've had to this point, man. It's been you've always been a great pitcher, man, but this season,
he's given up a couple of runs this year.
Yeah, literally a couple. That's it. No, you feel locked in. Did you change anything about the off-season routine, anything?
No, I mean, everything's the same. I mean, this is honestly probably first year in my career I've had the starting rotation in front of me that I've had, so it makes it a lot easier when your bullpen's only covering three or four innings a night versus five. So, I mean, we're well rested, and I mean, and Topper does a great job of keeping us sharp. So, it's I would just say my workload, like the consistency of it without being overused, it's unbelievable how the stars have aligned.
Well, and just quickly, Matty, you know, because every time a team goes through some scuffles, it's, you know, well, the bullpen management was wrong. I mean, you know, in San Diego, it's, you know, Bob Melvin couldn't manage a bullpen, and now it's Mike Schilt can't manage a bullpen, and, you know, the overuse.
I think it's the hardest thing to do in baseball.
That's what I always say, and you know, the thing is about you guys, though, you, the players, do they come to you before they go, hey, how you feeling? Can you give me one today if I need it? I mean, you guys always say yes. Nobody ever says no. So how's anybody supposed to know what to do?
Right. And I mean, I think it's the hardest thing to do as a manager is to manage your bullpen. How do you win games with your B guys to keep your A guys sharp? And I mean, it's stuff like that. But I mean, when you look at our bullpen, we got every guy in our bullpen has Dave under his belt except for Turnbull, who's been a starter his entire career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got guys with experience that have seen all sorts of leverage, and I think that just gives Topper a lot more leeway of when it's a tie game, it's like, well, okay, we'll see what happens with this guy, but it's not like we're going lesser option. We're all elite. It's just, I mean, flip a coin, pick a straw, we'll go with it.
How's that? I mean, we remember how nasty the bullpen guys are. I mean, behind Alvarado, you have Kerkering, Sir Anthony Dominguez, you, Hoffman. What's the vibe like? Like, what's the personalities like in that bullpen?
Yeah, that's what's cool about it, too. This is the first time I've never had a set closer in a bullpen. I mean, Hoffy and Alvy have kind of been doing that role depending on lefty-righty pocket. But, I mean, there's no selfishness of, why am I not throwing here, or why is so-and-so throwing, which it's awesome to see. And, I mean, it's, again, this clubhouse is something special here, and it's, I mean, there's 26 guys on a mission to do one thing, and it doesn't need to be talked about, and we just do our work.
So, talking to Matt Strom here, Philadelphia Phillies relief pitcher on Ben and Woods this morning, and, you know, talking about the clubhouse, and, you know, you guys have hit a little bit of a skid lately, which is rare for you guys, lost four out of your last six. Does the panic start to creep in, or no? Everyone just shows up knowing, and we talked about it last week, Matty, when you're a 500 team, fan of a 500 team like we are, every game feels like the Super Bowl, and every loss feels like you just lost the Super Bowl. But when you've built up a nice cushion, a little bit easier to stomach that 4-6.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, obviously, no excuses, but that's a tough road trip, jumping the pond and coming back.
Yes.
So just keep our head afloat there and get back to the bank. I mean, we love playing here in front of our fans. So, you know, it's, like I said, no excuses, but the start we've had, it makes it, like you said, a lot easier to stomach. And, I mean, we know we're a little banged up right now, and we got guys stepping up for some key pieces. And, I mean, we'll be where we need to be, hopefully, in September.
Talking to Phillies reliever Matt Strom here on Ben and Woods, and I wanted to ask you about the trip to London for the two games. Was there time for anything other than baseball? I know it was a pretty quick turnaround, but did you get to see any sights, any memorable stories?
Still can't really remember it. Still got the fog of
the London fog. Hours.
The London
thing,
fog. Yeah.
But London itself was unbelievable. I mean, it's a very cool city. As far as like the series for baseball, that's a big ask of those 52 players we sent over there in the middle of their season. But I mean, it's good for baseball, growing the game. It was an electric atmosphere, and you know. But I think we can maybe do something like y'all did, where it's at the beginning of the year, so it's not in the middle of your season.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we've had to do this the last couple seasons, the weird kind of trips at the beginning, and you know, like you said, no excuses. It throws you guys are so routine based, Matty, that it throws a wrench into the whole thing, and it's like, all right, I'm out of my routine. And you have to be with 162. I don't know that any fan will ever know what the 162 grind is like, plus spring training and all the stuff that you guys got to do. It can catch up to you pretty quick, and jumping on a 12-hour flight probably doesn't help.
No doubt. And that's where I think it would be cool, like, to kind of, like, I love the fact they're trying to play games out of the country, other places, but I think it would be cool where if it was, like, the week before opening day here, how you guys went and played in Japan, if there were two teams in Japan, two teams in Mexico, two teams in London, and you just play that week as, like, a world week before the season. I don't know.
Yeah.
When you're not in the middle of the season.
Yeah, the middle of the season's got to be tough. Are you you're looking right now, and I mean, does the All-Star game?
I was just going to ask.
Does the All-Star game cross
numbers?
Maddie's,
are amazing.
They're incredible.
They usually go with the save guys, but your numbers are incredible. I mean, 1.3 WAR already. It's nuts for a relief pitcher.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you're a relief pitcher, so we'll see.
Do you want to go? You want to go,
you
right?
Wanna
of
go.
Course you want to
yeah.
go.
I mean, everyone wants to know. What the hell you mean? We put this jersey on for a reason. Like, we want to compete, and we want to compete against the best in the world. But I mean, I get it. It's just the way the game is.
You want us to make up T-shirts, I mean, Venter, like All Strom
all
or something?
Years,
all Strom.
Spencer's all those years in Atlanta as the setup man in Atlanta. He had sub ones every All-Star break, and it took him 3 years to finally crack that. So. It is what it is.
Well, Matty, we really appreciate it. And for all the people who in our chat are saying we're just trying to jinx the Phillies by having Matty
exactly
on.
Exactly right.
That is totally what we were doing.
100%.
So mission accomplished. Thank you very much for joining us, Matty.
Yeah. Right on, guys. Anytime.
Take care, man. Matt Strom, relief pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, and probably immune to the Ben and Woods jinx as well.
Yeah.
He's just been pitching. Three earned runs.
Three.
The entire season.
That's
he's given
insane.
Up one homer. He's walked four guys in 39 strikeouts. So, I mean, you know, it's not perfect all season long.
My
it's
guess
12
is...
and a half strikeouts per nine innings. I mean, he's having an unbelievable. His whip is 0.79. His ERA is 0.96. And you can make the argument that Hoffman has been even better in their bullpen as well. He's also given up three runs, has a lower ERA. It's their bullpen is insane.
My guess is that after getting his ass kicked on the golf course by me, he put the golf clubs down and decided to focus on pitching and really bared down after losing to a slob like me on the golf course. But it did happen. I will always have that. Always.
Maybe the card collecting, is he
maybe the card collecting.
Less of that?
Yeah. And started to focus on baseball.
Whatever, it's working. Hey, and when you have so many other guys in the bullpen, he made the point that no one ever has to really be overworked because they don't have three guys at the bottom of their bullpen that you're afraid to use. They can literally, you know, Rob Pelinka, he can literally go with anybody and feel pretty good about his choice. So, hey, you need a couple days off to rest your arm? Fine, we'll go with these other guys who all have a zero or one something ERA in their bullpen. It's a luxury that the Philadelphia Phillies have that most teams do not.
Yeah, Matt in the chat says, I remember when Doomers were running Strom out of town, too. Yes, 100%. It's 100%. I remember it well. It happens. Margie once said that was a soft interview. Why not ask him hard questions about the Padres org when he was on the team? He's just our buddy, dude. Like, I don't...
He hasn't been here in like five years.
He hasn't been here in 5 years,
since he's been on the team. There's not really anything relevant about the current Padres that involves Matt Strom.
Lord.
He's on the Phillies.
Yes, Matt. Tell us how Andy Green was as a manager.
Correct. Yes. Like, what are the differences in Andy Green and Mike Schilt and Rob Thompson? Like, come on, bro. Can I leave?
Oh, man. No, I think you have to stay for one more segment.
Over it.
You can just hold on.
All right, I'll hold on.
I know you wanted to talk about cultural lightning rod Caitlin Clark.
Bro, what is happening in the NBA or the WNBA right now? What is going on? Every move that this person makes turns into like some war. I watched Scott Van Pelt last night. I was watching the highlights. Holy smokes. Like,
it was scripted.
It really was.
For Angel Reese, of all people.
Yeah, of course.
To just clothesline Caitlin Clark going up for a layup, and then you're like, yeah, that you're going to see that play on loop for the next 72 hours on every talk show in sports.
It's nuts. It's nuts, the discourse going on in the WNBA right now. It's unrelenting. It doesn't... It just keeps coming every single day. It is nuts.
All right, we'll talk a little bit about that. We can do a preview of this afternoon. I would call it this afternoon, 3:40, as opposed to tonight's game against the Philadelphia Phillies. When we come back with our final segment of Ben and Woods, do not go anywhere. Going until 10 o'clock here on 97.3 The Fan. Throw a little love toward Brett Boone. Don't forget to check out MLB All-Star, former Padre Brett Boone and his big league friends on his podcast, The Boone Podcast, 3 days a week. Brett talking with Hall of Famers, fellow All-Stars friends, and more to get their take on today's game, reliving some great stories. Tom Glavin, John Smoltz, Ken Griffey Jr., the list goes on and on. Follow the Boone Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we'll take a look ahead at today's game, but I really do want to talk about everybody losing their minds about Caitlin Clark.
Well, and let's be honest, too, everybody losing their minds about Angel Reese. Right? It's both.
True.
It's both.
But it's not just, I mean, before that was Kennedy Carter.
Right.
It's not, there's lots of different players that have come at Caitlin Clark.
Well, sure.
She's the constant, though. She's at the center of all of it. If Angel Reese has a hard foul on any other player in the WNBA, it doesn't make one headline at all.
Yes, correct. But the...
So it's not about Angel Reese.
But this one is. Like, just play the traffic and we'll come back and I'll tell you what I mean.
All right, can I start this discussion with something that I think is so obvious it doesn't even need to be mentioned, but apparently it does because of the reaction I saw on yesterday's foul by Angel Reese on Caitlin Clark. It's a hard foul. It was a flagrant foul, but it was a normal basketball play. Trying to block it, swiping above someone's head, trying to block it, and
yes,
you miss, and you accidentally hit the person's head. Now, could you be more careful? Yeah, that's why they call it a foul and upgraded it to a flagrant foul. Is it something at all unusual on a basketball court?
No.
Or signs that someone is specifically like being targeted in terms of taking them out?
I don't think so. And I'm yesterday, you know, Caitlin goes up for a layup. Angel Reese comes across going for the ball, but bonks her head, you know, flagrant one. They review it, call it a flagrant one. But then I go to Twitter. I see Matt Leinart, former USC quarterback, say Angel Reese should be suspended, period. Not good for the game. What? What are we talking about? Like, it doesn't have to be that way. It's a hard foul. Like, it's a hard foul that if it went the other
is
way.
Is it because of all of the stuff
gotta be
leading
because
up
of all
to it
of,
that it was premeditated?
Now, she took the, you know, she took the shoulder. She took the shoulder, hit the deck, you know, a week or so ago, and none of her teammates came. There's so many layers of this onion. It's crazy. Like, that's one that we can all agree on. Like, her teammates need to defend her as a teammate, not because she's Caitlin Clark. As you would.
That's the most confounding thing out of all
that's
of
the,
this.
That's the one that it's hard to wrap your head around. Somebody needs to get in somebody's face that does something, you know, not even that flagrant one, but the shoulder, you know, shoulder to the ground. That's one where you get in somebody's face and go, we're not doing that tonight. But
The hip check by Kennedy Carter is much more egregious.
100%.
It's not like something that's going to take someone out.
No, she bumped
her to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. She knocked her to the ground.
It wasn't like a dangerous basketball play.
But again, that's one where your teammates need to get in somebody's face.
Sure.
Right?
But that's an Indiana Fever issue.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If I'm an Indiana Fever fan and I want my team to start climbing the standings and show a little, you know, spunk in defending Caitlin Clark, then I'm calling into my Indianapolis talk show going, I'd like to see them do it. As a non-Indiana Fever fan, I could care less if her teammates come to her defense or not. That's a team issue. Like, that's not a cultural issue.
No, it's not a cultural issue. So that's one that we can all agree on. But every time Caitlin Clark gets fouled, it shouldn't be blown out of proportion. And I think this Angel Reese one was. Now, when they talked to Angel Reese after the game last night, I was pretty surprised by her comments as well. Paulie's got that.
For inside, I mean, I think we were playing really hard. I think we went up really strong a lot of times, and we didn't get a lot of calls. And going back at looking at the film, I've seen a lot of calls that weren't made. I guess some people got a special whistle, but just being able to.
All right. So I don't think that she got a special whistle there. I really don't.
Not on that play, maybe on something else,
but not on the flagrant one.
You don't think LeBron gets some special whistles?
Yeah, I mean, it's
Kobe got some special whistles during his career.
The Jordan rules. I mean, come on, it's been a thing. But I mean, I guess at the end of the day, like I was laying in bed last night watching the highlights on Scott Van Pelt with Hannah, and we were watching. I go, these girls are unreal. Like, Caitlin Clark looked unreal last night. She's stepping back, hitting threes. Like, they really are. They really do put on a good show. I mean, it's an entertaining brand of basketball. There's no question. But to watch, like, to watch the vitriol against Caitlin Clark right now is pretty gnarly. It's pretty gnarly to see. The other players. And then the media rushing to defend her. I mean, it is just, it's like this snowball right now for this girl.
One thing I disagree, though, East County Chris in our chat said, Angel Reese is the heel and Clark is the baby face.
Oh, no, and Clark is a heel, too.
She's a trash talker.
100%.
I mean, she's not some sweet, innocent basketball
figure. Me? I know.
She gets into it with everybody as well, which is great. It's great. I mean, you know, the women's game has never been more popular, and it's never been more dramatic. It's never been, you know, as close to equivalent as the men's game as it is right now, thanks to this kind of play, because it's the kind of play you see in the men's game as well.
Yeah.
It's entertaining. It's exciting. There's going to be some drama. There's going to be some talk about it. But Caitlin Clark is not, she's not just a sweet, innocent person in all of this.
Victim.
You know, she's a high-profile rookie. Guess what? In any sport, high-profile rookies tend to draw the attention of veteran players around the league.
Remember Cole Hamels, what he did to Bryce Harper when he came up in the league?
Yes.
Drilled him with 97 in the back.
Tatis saw it a ton.
Tatis still sees it a lot.
I mean, you know.
But it's, this is not super uncommon for them to go after the big new prize. But it is just, I mean, like Leinart going on Twitter saying she needs to be suspended. She doesn't. This is a flagrant one. She hit her with the side of her forearm in the head.
And if she gets a few more flagrants, then she gets a one-game suspension.
That's
the way it works. They have a formula for it. There is a disciplinary structure in the WNBA, just like in the NBA. And they're following it. And I just, the way everybody loses their mind when talking about Caitlin Clark, I think is one of the more overblown stories we've seen in sports lately.
I think so too, and I don't want to contribute to it. I think they're all pretty remarkable talents, man. Watching them last night in the very limited, you know, I don't watch the NBA, so it's one of those things. But watching it in the very limited time I watched, I went, God dang, man, these girls flat out play.
I'll say, I maybe watched a little WNBA in my life.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a second of women's college basketball before this last year.
Yeah.
Watched a little bit of the postseason, especially the tournament. And I'm following the WNBA now, at least loosely. And over the last few days, my wife pointed out, she goes, hey, the LA Sparks are playing the Las Vegas Aces on Friday, July 5th. Let's see if we can get tickets. And we're going up. We're going to go watch Cameron Brink and the Sparks, Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson on the Aces, the defending champs. So we got tickets, lower bowl seats, and never would have thought I was going to go to a WNBA game. But it's fascinating right now, and it's good. It's a good product.
It's a good product. And I guess at the end of the day, it is good to always have eyeballs on your product, good, bad, indifferent.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not indifferent, good or bad. But no, it's pretty remarkable what this has all turned into over the last month or so.
I mean, I see some comments about Angel Reese in the chat. And, yeah, if you're not a Chicago Sky fan, probably not going to like Angel Reese.
Correct.
Just like we're never going to like, Max Muncy, you know, playing for the other team.
Right.
He's a villain because he plays for the other guys. She's not trying to win your support. She's a, you know, tough ball player that's trying to win games for her team, and that makes her kind of unlikable
for
other teams. And because Caitlin Clark is everybody's team right now. There weren't a ton of WNBA fans 6 months ago, but now there are a lot of Caitlin Clark fans. So Caitlin Clark is essentially the team that America is cheering for. And now everybody else is on the other team. Even her own teammates are sometimes on the other team because they're not supporting her. So if you're cheering for Caitlin Clark's team, you don't really like anybody else in the WNBA right now because they all seem to be opposed to Caitlin Clark. Because you know what? That's how sports works. Caitlin Clark's trying to beat everybody else. And, you know, they become the enemy. So, yeah, she's got a lot of enemies out there. She's a good player. And, you know, she's trying to make some inroads in the WNBA. Now, is she the best player in the league? Of course not.
No.
She doesn't even deserve to be on the Olympic team. We talked about this last week. It's a missed opportunity for women's basketball to not have her on the team and maybe short-sighted. But she hasn't earned a spot on that team yet. So I have no problem with them leaving her off the team. She's not there yet. She had a really good game yesterday, one of her best all-around games. It's been an up-and-down start, as it was for LeBron James in his first year in the NBA, as it is for most, Kobe Bryant. No one jumps from college to the pros and becomes a star instantly. That is very, very rare to see that. Throw a little love toward Brett Boone. Don't forget to check out MLB All-Star, former Padre Brett Boone, and his big league friends on his podcast, The Boone Podcast, 3 days a week. Brett talking with Hall of Famers, fellow All-Stars friends, and more to get their take on today's game, reliving some great stories. Tom Glavine, John Smoltz, Ken Griffey Jr., the list goes on and on. Follow the Boone Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we'll take a look ahead at today's game, but I really do want to talk about everybody losing their minds about Caitlin Clark.
Well, and let's be honest, too. Everybody losing their minds about Angel Reese. Right? It's both.
True.
It's both.
But it's not just, I mean, before that was Kennedy Carter.
Right.
It's not, there's lots of different players that have come at Caitlin Clark.
Well, sure.
She's always she's the constant, though. She's at the center of all of it. If Angel Reese has a hard foul on any other player in the WNBA, it doesn't make one headline at all.
Yes, correct. But
so it's not about Angel Reese.
But this one is. Like, just play the traffic and we'll come back and I'll tell you what I mean.
All right, can I start this discussion with something that I think is so obvious it doesn't even need to be mentioned, but apparently it does because of the reaction I saw on yesterday's foul by Angel Reese on Caitlin Clark. It's a hard foul. It was a flagrant foul. But it was a normal basketball play. Trying to block, swiping above someone's head, trying to block it, and
yes,
you miss, and you accidentally hit the person's head. Now, could you be more careful? Yeah, that's why they call it a foul and upgraded it to a flagrant foul. Is it something at all unusual on a basketball court?
No.
Or signs that someone is specifically like being targeted in terms of taking them out?
I don't think so. And I'm yesterday, you know, Caitlin goes up for a layup. Angel Reese comes across going for the ball, but bonks her head, you know, flagrant one. They review it, call it a flagrant one. But then I go to Twitter. I see Matt Leinart, former USC quarterback, say Angel Reese should be suspended, period. Not good for the game. What? What are we talking about? Like, it doesn't have to be that way. It's a hard foul. Like, it's a hard foul that if it went the other way.
Is it because of all of the stuff leading up to it that it was premeditated?
Now, she took the, you know, she took the shoulder. She took the shoulder, hit the deck, you know, a week or so ago, and none of her teammates came. There's so many layers of this onion. It's crazy. Like, that's one that we can all agree on. Like, her teammates need to defend her as a teammate, not because she's Caitlin Clark. Just be as you would.
That's the most confounding thing out of all
that's
of
the,
this.
That's the one that it's hard to wrap your head around. Somebody needs to get in somebody's face that does something, you know, not even that flagrant one, but the shoulder, you know, shoulder to the ground. That's one where you get in somebody's face and go, we're not doing that tonight. But
the hip check by Kennedy Carter is much more egregious.
100%.
It's not like something that's going to take someone out.
No, she bumped
her to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. She knocked her to the ground.
It wasn't like a dangerous basketball play.
But again, that's one where your teammates need to get in somebody's face.
Sure.
Right? But that's an
Indiana Fever issue.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, if I'm an Indiana Fever fan and I want my team to start climbing the standings and show a little, you know, spunk in defending Caitlin Clark, then I'm calling into my Indianapolis talk show going, I'd like to see them do it. As a non-Indiana Fever fan, I could care less if her teammates come to her defense or not. That's a team issue. Like, that's not a cultural issue.
No, it's not a cultural issue. So that's one that we can all agree on. But every time Caitlin Clark gets fouled, it shouldn't be blown out of proportion. And I think this Angel Reese one was. Now, when they talked to Angel Reese after the game last night, I was pretty surprised by her comments as well. Paulie's got that.
For inside, I mean, I think we were playing really hard. I think we went up really strong a lot of times, and we didn't get a lot of calls. And going back at looking at the film, I've seen a lot of calls that weren't made. I guess some people got a special whistle, but just being able to.
All right. So I don't think that she got a special whistle there. I really don't.
Not on that play, maybe on something else,
but not on the flagrant one.
You don't think LeBron gets some special whistles?
Yeah, I mean, it's
Kobe got some special whistles during his career.
The Jordan rules. I mean, come on, it's been a thing. But I mean, I guess at the end of the day, like I was laying in bed last night watching the highlights on Scott Van Pelt with Hannah, and we were watching. I go, these girls are unreal. Like, Caitlin Clark looked unreal last night. She's stepping back, hitting threes. Like, they really are. They really do put on a good show. I mean, it's an entertaining brand of basketball. There's no question. But to watch, like, to watch the vitriol against Caitlin Clark right now is pretty gnarly. It's pretty gnarly to see.
From the other players.
Well, the other players. And then the media rushing to defend her. I mean, it is just, it's like this snowball right now for this girl.
One thing I disagree, though, East County Chris in our chat said, Angel Reese is the heel and Clark is the baby face.
Oh, no, and Clark is a heel, too.
Clark is, she's a trash talker.
100%.
I mean, she's not some sweet, innocent basketball
like, who,
figure.
Me? I know.
She gets into it with everybody as well, which is great. It's great. I mean, you know, the women's game has never been more popular, and it's never been more dramatic. It's never been, you know, as close to equivalent as the men's game as it is right now, thanks to this kind of play, because it's the kind of play you see in the men's game as well.
Yeah.
It's entertaining. It's exciting. There's going to be some drama. There's going to be some talk about it. But Caitlin Clark is not, she's not just a sweet, innocent person in all of this.
Victim.
You know, she's a high-profile rookie. Guess what? In any sport, high-profile rookies tend to draw the attention of veteran players around the league.
Remember Cole Hamels, what he did to Bryce Harper when he came up in the league?
Yes.
Drilled him with 97 in the back.
Tatis saw it a ton.
Tatis still sees it a lot.
I mean, you know.
But this is not super uncommon for them to go after the the big new prize. But it is just, I mean, like Leinart going on Twitter saying she needs to be suspended. She doesn't. This is a flagrant one. She hit her with the side of her forearm in the head.
And if she gets a few more flagrants, then she gets a one-game suspension.
Correct.
That's the way it works. They have a formula for it. There is a disciplinary structure in the WNBA, just like in the NBA, and they're following it. And I just, the way everybody loses their mind when talking about Caitlin Clark, I think is one of the more overblown stories we've seen in sports lately.
I think so too, and I don't want to contribute to it. I think they're all pretty remarkable talents, man. Watching them last night in the very limited, you know, I don't watch the NBA, so it's one of those things. But watching in the very limited time I watched, I went, God dang, man, these girls flat out play.
I'll say, I watched a little WNBA in my life.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a second of women's college basketball before this last year.
Yeah.
Watched a little bit of the postseason, especially the tournament. And I'm following the WNBA now, at least loosely. And over the last few days, my wife pointed out, she goes, hey, the LA Sparks are playing the Las Vegas Aces on Friday, July 5th. Let's see if we can get tickets. And we're going up. We're going to go watch Cameron Brink and the Sparks, Kelsey Plum and Asia Wilson on the Aces, the defending champs. So we got tickets, lower bowl seats, and never would have thought I was going to go to a WNBA game. But it's fascinating right now, and it's good. It's a good product.
It's a good
really
product,
is.
And I guess at the end of the day, it is good to always have eyeballs on your product, good, bad, indifferent.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not indifferent, good or bad. But no, it's pretty remarkable what this has all turned into over the last month or so.
I mean, I see some comments about Angel Reese in the chat, and yeah, if you're not a Chicago Sky fan, probably not going to like Angel Reese.
Correct.
Just like we're never going to like Max
Muncy,
you know, playing for the other team. Right. He's a villain because he plays for the other guys. She's not trying to win your support. She's a, you know, tough ball player that's trying to win games for her team, and that makes her kind of unlikable
sure.
for other teams. And because Caitlin Clark is everybody's team right now. There weren't a ton of WNBA fans 6 months ago, but now there are a lot of Caitlin Clark fans. So Caitlin Clark is essentially the team that America is cheering for. And now everybody else is on the other team. Even her own teammates are sometimes on the other team because they're not
like
supporting
it.
Her. So if you're cheering for Caitlin Clark's team, you don't really like anybody else in the WNBA right now because they all seem to be opposed to Caitlin Clark. Because you know what? That's how sports works. Caitlin Clark's trying to beat everybody else. And, you know, they become the enemy. So, yeah, she's got a lot of enemies out there. She's a good player. And, you know, she's trying to make some inroads in the WNBA. Now, is she the best player in the league? Of course not.
No.
She doesn't even deserve to be on the Olympic team. We talked about this last week. It's a missed opportunity for women's basketball to not have her on the team and maybe short-sighted. But she hasn't earned a spot on that team yet. So I have no problem with them leaving her off the team. She's not there yet. She had a really good game yesterday, one of her best all-around games. It's been an up-and-down start, as it was for LeBron James in his first year in the NBA, as it is for most Kobe Bryant. No one jumps from college to the pros and becomes a star instantly. That is very, very rare to see that. It takes some maturity, some experience, some just growing to be a star on that next level. She will get there. I have no doubt in my mind she will be an MVP and one of the best players in the league soon. But she's not there yet.
Yeah.
She's probably the best player on her team right now, but it's not a good team. And there's some growth to be had there.
Yeah, 100%. It's fascinating, fascinating story. In the world of sports, Benjamin, more fascinating, I think, than what's going on with our hometown baseball team right now. And we do have another game today. Who's on the bump tonight, Benjamin?
Randy Vasquez.
Against
Christopher Sanchez, left-hander. Ooh, for the Philadelphia Phillies. Got a 3.07 ERA. 61 strikeouts, 23 walks in 70 innings. I mean, they have a lot of good pitchers. He's not the nastiest that they've got, but certainly seems like the kind of guy who's been giving the Padres problems as of late in Christopher
Sanchez.
Because
he throws with his left hand.
That's definitely a big part of the reason, for sure.
Is he not even on Savant? I'm just trying to look him up on Savant right now. He's not even on there.
Christopher Sanchez. How are you
spelling
it?
Any weird?
C-R, no H.
Oh, there you go.
C-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R.
There he is.
Sanchez.
You don't miss a beat. Yeah, 3-3, 3.07 Okay. Yeah, he's a sinker guy. Sinker, changeup,
well,
slider,
it's not like
cut.
The Padres hit a lot of ground balls.
No,
so
no, we loved it. When was the last time you've seen us beat sinkers into the ground, even at 96 to 100 miles an hour? Yeah. When's that happened? No, he's he's sinker, changeup. Oh God, I'm sick to my stomach.
Mike
already.
Schilt will would like to have you believe that the late signs of offense yesterday will carry over and a good sign for the team. I guess we can remain open, as I said, be open-minded about the possibilities of today.
Is he the Schilt, the Ben Higgins of managers?
Probably, yeah. Oh, that he also is ejected 3 times, leading all of baseball, which probably wouldn't be my MO.
At all.
I might be the only manager who would never be ejected from any game ever.
Is he Country Ben?
Country
he's
Ben.
Country
he's Country Ben.
Ben. Yeah. That's your new, it's his new nickname, Country Ben. He's Country Ben, North Carolina Ben.
Watch your mouth, cuz.
Yeah, watch your mouth, cuz. Huh. Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster tonight. Not to be a stick in the mud or anything, but it's a literal recipe for disaster with this guy on the mound.
No, it's not a recipe for disaster.
No, it is.
It's a recipe for a really frustrating 3-1 loss.
Hence a disaster, which would be your fourth loss in a row. That's a disaster. Country, I can't wait to hear Country Ben's presser. From now on, he's going to be Country Ben.
7 straight road losses, though, from the team that was at one point had the best road record in the National League. All of a sudden, can't win a road game. 7 in a row, dating from before this road trip into the last road trip. At some point, they're going to win a road game, right? I mean, you know, it is baseball. No one loses them all. No one wins them all.
At some point, they're going to dominate a left-hander. You know,
it's also true. They will. They've actually won a bunch of games against lefties this year.
Once they waited them out and got into their bullpen.
I did see someone in the chat go, is it just me or is like 75% of the league now left-handers going up against the Padres?
AC talked to Cronenworth about that in the newsletter.
If you want to know the actual numbers, about 25% of starting pitchers in baseball are lefties.
Okay.
So you should face a lefty on average 1 out of every 4 games.
Put them all against the Padres.
In the last 30 games, though, the Padres have faced 15 lefties. So they're facing twice as many lefties as you would normally expect to get. Now, is that a strategic decision by other teams or just random chance? I don't know. I have not seen any managers say they've changed their rotation to make sure the lefties line up against the San Diego Padres. You'd think that that would be something that would be reported on, like, oh, we're going to hold this guy back a day so we can have lefties face the Padres.
You don't know that it hasn't.
I don't know that it hasn't
either. It would take a really deep dive.
It could have quietly happened, but the Padres have been facing much more than their fair share of lefties over the last 30 games in which they have struggled against those left-handed pitchers. So until they start hitting them, you can't expect that number to go down. I mean, if managers aren't doing it, they should be doing it soon. Because until the Padres prove that they can hit left-handers, I will do everything I can to make sure I've got as many lefties as I can going up against the San Diego Padres in my series against that team.
Easy dubs, man. That's exactly right. It's what you're praying for.
Except for maybe Jackson Merrill, who all of a sudden is crushing the ball against left-handed pitching.
Yep.
Which makes no sense at all either.
It doesn't. I don't know about how many have revamped their rotations to make that fall in line. But even, you know, Cronenworth was talking to Kevin Acey, and he said, it seems like every day, you know, we're out there running up against a new lefty. So, yeah, about 50% of the time, you're saying.
Wow. Including 2 of the next 3 games against the Philadelphia Phillies. So today's game is, again, Randy Vasquez against Christopher Sanchez. And then tomorrow will be Michael King against Aaron Nola. He's a righty. Then back to Matt Waldron against Ranger Suarez on Wednesday to wrap up the series. And that is the day of our golf tournament. We will be off that morning, as will all the shows, but it's an early game, so it's a 9 a.m. pregame show. So we wouldn't have had a full show anyway.
And what Wednesday. Do we do on the... Okay. Yeah. So we took the day off. No, we got the day off.
We got the day off. But it would have been a short show had we not gotten the day off.
Fantastic.
We should have the game on. We'll have it. There's TVs at the GOAT, so we'll have it on when we're...
And make sure you can come out. You know, come out. You don't have to play golf. In fact, you can't play golf anymore. We're done selling tickets. So come out and hang out and help us heckle people on the 10th hole. If you are playing, you will be heckled on the 10th hole. So just know that going in. It's going to be a fun, fun day raising money for charity and just being all together. We need it. We need each other more than ever right now with this team.
Absolutely. Great prizes like the Nixon watch that I am modeling today.
You keeping that or?
No.
So we're going to give it.
It's going back.
So we are giving away a watch you wore. So somebody's getting a
it's
game.
More valuable. Yeah,
I don't true. Think that that's how that works.
You tarnished the value.
What?
You drove it off the lot.
Correct.
Lost half its
yeah,
value.
You drove it off. It's worth half of what
no,
it
was. It's a watch. It's an heirloom now.
It's not
family,
an heirloom.
It's a family heirloom.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. It's game used now.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry to whoever wins.
Sorry
it.
About your used, oily watch that you're going to get.
For Pauline Woods, I'm Ben, Annie, and Elston coming up next year on 97 Through the Fans. So long, everybody.